Welcome to the next episode of Three Slow Guys Running Marathons. We're missing one of our hosts today, Tim. He's not available, but this is me, Brian, one of the main hosts. And then we have our other host, Doug, is here. And we have our guest today, who probably will be coming on more often than not, is our buddy, Jake, who's also getting into running. So I think probably the best way to kind of start this is, Jake, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions about who you are and, you know, and we'll just kind of lead into running from there.
I like
cool.
it.
Cool. All right. So, Doug, anything to say before we get started with that?
I am happy that Jake is here. Jake being here completes the circle. So we now can take on the rebellion and win.
I like it. That's good. I just saw Ahsoka yesterday, so I'm all caught up. Okay. Number one, Jake, how did you, well, maybe you could introduce yourself first. So maybe you can talk about who you are, you know, where you live, if you want to, and then, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Maybe we can start with that.
Okay. Well, so I'm Jake, and, you know, I'm with, along with you and Tim and Doug. I mean, I met you guys in high school, and, yep. So I grew up in the Bay Area, and I don't still live in the Bay Area. I left the Bay Area for many years, moved back here in 2010, and I've been living pretty much in Dublin since then.
Cool.
Grew up in Novato, went to MC, and I did not run in high school. I really didn't. I wrestled. That's how I got my stamina and my cardio. And I remember we needed a couple additional wrestlers on the larger end of the scale. And so I reached out to Doug and I said, hey, we need some big guys on the team. And he said, I'll do that if you do track. You have to, and I was a little guy. I was little. I think I weighed 105.
Oh man.
And yeah, I was little. And Doug, the deal was that Doug and our other friend Byron would come to the wrestling team if I did shot put and discus. And I said, let's do it. And then I ended up getting into track quite a bit after that. So I kept up with the wrestling throughout high school. And in track, I did everything except the distance running. You know, I did shot, disc. I did all the hurdles events. I even did high jump and long jump, triple jump. You know what I didn't do is pole vault. I never, that's too scary. I did all the relays. I did most of this, almost all the sprints at least once. And at meets, not just like in practice. I did them at meets. I was kind of a utility wherever the coach needed me. That's where I would go. And then somewhere near the end of senior year, somebody was over in Petaluma was doing a 5K, and I thought, you know what, I can do that. And wow, was I surprised at how fun it was, really. So I ran my first 5K. I was 17 years old, and it was so long ago. It was a lot of hills. And I think I came in at somewhere between 16 and 17 minutes. I don't know why that number. It was fast. It was fast.
That was pretty fast.
I was in great shape. I was cooking. That was the fastest I would ever. I mean, back then I had like a somewhere between a 5.5 and a 6 minute mile, and it's been all downhill since then.
I think. Sounds like it was downhill then too.
I'll tell you, I got out of shape quite a bit. I took up smoking and drinking quite a bit. I still drink. I don't drink, you know, excessive. I'm a bad drinker. I don't drink a lot, but when I do, you know, it's I enjoy myself. And I quit smoking in 1999. Yeah, New Year's Day, 1999, I quit smoking. And then I kind of got back into health a little bit. And I think but the last time I ran any distance, I did a 5K and then a 10K sometime around my 40th birthday.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I did, it was just the knees, you know, I started feeling it in the knees. I'm sure you guys have experienced that because, you know, you're both a little bit older than I am. So I started going low impact, doing some bike rides and stuff, ellipticals, you know, and then kind of sports, intramural sports at work, you know, some dodgeball and volleyball, things like that. But I think so. I got a text message from Doug maybe 4 weeks ago, well, maybe a little sooner, more recently than that. And it was, hey, do you want to run a turkey trot? And I said, great, I'll run a turkey trot. What's that? And it turns out it's a 5K before breakfast on Thanksgiving morning, but I'm down for it. Let's make it happen. And so, yeah. So now me and my wife, we're gearing up, you know, and again, neither of us are in fantastic shapes. We're just starting. It's basically like we're just starting out and have not done any serious running in years.
That's, well, that's why we're here. We're here to help and we're here to answer any questions. We're not experts by any means, but I think we've just been doing this and we have a little bit of experience. So I think that's kind of the purpose here today. Yeah, and you were talking about, Jake, about that time you ran that 5K, 16 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
What's your fastest?
That's what
5K,
I remember.
Brian?
I might be exaggerating. I might have it, you know, I might have built it up in my mind to be faster than it was.
I remember my fastest time. Well, that's still impressive. My fastest mile, I think in high school, right? That's probably when we were probably the fastest. I think I ran, remember we used to do the time miles around the track at MC? And I think at that time, I just remember it being like around 6:30, but I was like struggling to finish that. And I don't know, you guys remember your time mile at that time?
So you're talking about our PE class.
Freshman year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I did just around 8 minutes, but only because I paced, I can't remember his name now. I paced somebody else, but I didn't run I had no concept of time because, you know, back in those days, I didn't run. But I know that my fastest 5K ever was 27 minutes in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Jake, if you pulled a 16-minute one out,
My fastest mile in high school, I remember it exactly. It was 5:32.
Yeah, you could have probably done it. If I'm guessing, if you did 5:30, you probably 16 and a half.
Minutes. No, you could have. I mean,
yeah.
I was shocked when I crossed the line and they said 5:32. I was shocked because I still have a little gas left.
So here's the question: were you being chased by somebody? Because I remember how much, you know, Crash used to talk in high school. So
you know what? No, actually, and you know, you guys don't appreciate this. at 103 pounds, you gotta remember back then I was also like 5'3". I have the shortest legs. It takes a lot of energy for me to run fast. You guys have those long strides. I'm like, every step you take, I have to take a step and a half.
Oh, I never thought about that. I guess that's true. No one was chasing you, right? Or like one.
Nobody was chasing. Just me against the clock.
There you go. Okay, let's go on. Let's see. So you talked about how you got into running and kind of where you are. What sort of like gear do you use today? I know you're probably a little bit new to all this, but do you have any gear that you like using or that you've kind of heard about that you?
So I have running shoes, and that's about the extent of my gear. I have, let me take a look. I'm actually, and they're not, I don't necessarily have them for running. These are just like my everyday shoes, and so I also run in them. These are the Brooks Ghost shoes. I love how comfortable they are. That's why I keep getting them. I got them at REI, I think, the last time, because I tried Hoka's, and I didn't like the way they felt on the top of my foot.
Yeah, they're kind of weird. I think they're a little tight, but you have a weird toe box, but it feels like it felt tight when I got it. I had to.
Hokas or Ghosts, Brian?
Hokas.
The Hokas, the thing with the Hokas that I find concerning is the actual sole. The amount of cushion, and some of them are a little bit angled.
Yeah.
Because I try to run with a flat step, I just can't pull it off in a Hoka.
They're really wide. It's like super wide. Yeah. I remember that too. So like Doug and I entered a contest and we got some Hokas.
Oh God.
And I just remember trying to run in those. And I think because they're so wide, you know, it's almost like a skirt. Cause like the way that the sole was made, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I felt like when I was coming off a curb, I would like clip the curb and
exaggerating. The sole eked out a half inch on either side in the back. Yeah. It was really weird. So Brian, actually it was Missy who really secured those shoes for us. We just kind of rode her coattails. But I listened to Brian talk about the shoe, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not into this. So I ended up going with my voucher to get those free shoes, and I gave them to Miranda. She used them for about 3 weeks and said, forget it. And so she's a Nike girl. So she's like, no, these suck. Through them.
Emily, my wife, she wears Hokas and she loves them. She wears those almost exclusively when it comes to anything that's not just regular pair of flats. She loves the Hokas. I didn't care for them, but I'm interested. You know, I'll try a new shoe, a new running shoe. I used to run in Nikes. I had a really nice pair of Nike running shoes, but I think I bought them about a half a size too small, and my toe kept jamming into the. You know, every time I hit the ground, it would jam my toe, and so I couldn't go very. I couldn't wear them. I couldn't get them to break in. I couldn't wear them long enough to get them to break in. That was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Then I switched to the Brooks.
So then, I think generally you need to probably aim to get maybe like a half size bigger on your shoe because your foot's technically going to like swell just a little bit the more you run. But those Brooks that you're wearing are really good. I think, I mean, I have a pair of Brooks Adrenaline GTS and Glycerin. So I really love the Brooks product. And I think Doug, you use Brooks too, right? The Ghost. Yeah.
I use the Ghost.
We're shoe twins.
Go on, Jake. Go on, Doug.
So I use them because I used to use Asics, and because of poor running attire in college, I have shin splints, and the Asics exacerbate the shin splints. The Ghosts don't. They're one of the few shoes that I can run in that no matter how long I run, I don't have a problem with shin splints. So that's the main reason I use them.
So I would do, Jake, for yourself is probably, I'd maybe suggest to get an exclusive pair of shoes for running. So just keep that like separate from like your everyday work shoe that you use. And even though it might be the same brand, so do that because generally you'd like to use like some sort of app to track how many miles you have on your shoe because
I have heard that. I have a couple guys at work that run and they're like, oh yeah, I can get a good 150, almost 200 miles out of these shoes. I was like, wow.
So how heavy are they?
So just people that I'm talking to?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're like 6 foot, you know, and probably I would find a ballpark guess 170 pounds. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't it's not a question I'm comfortable asking people at work.
No, it's
a good idea.
So the reason you put miles on the shoes, so the shoes are designed, you know, to take a certain amount of impact over time, and the infrastructure of the shoe, the sole and the inside liner, they compress and they lose their ability to support you as you go on. So the more miles you put on them, the less support you're going to get from that shoe. The shoe itself may be fine. The sole may be fine, but its ability to prevent you from getting other injuries like knee problems and what have you deteriorates over time. So the general rule of thumb is 200 miles on a pair of shoes. If you're heavy like me, I just go on a flat. I buy this, to Brian's point, I buy the same shoe twice. When I buy it, mm-hmm. and I use one January to June, and then I toss it no matter how good it looks, and I swap to a new one for July to December. And so I make sure that I'm swapping my shoes out at least twice a year. If I do a lot of runs, I might do it sooner, but I also tend to try and keep the same shoe for an entire year. So, you know, if it's you know.
That makes sense, actually. Thanks, because like I said, I bought the shoes I'm wearing right now. I bought them probably 6 or 7 months ago, and they're starting to. I can start to feel that they're not supporting me, like in the heel area right now. And I never considered that at 5'5", I'm still throwing a 180 on these things every time I step down. It's just since I'm wearing them every day, basically. Yeah, I can see how these. I should probably consider separate running shoes from my everyday shoes.
And do you actually use one thing we'll probably both recommend is, do you use like an app to track your runs, like a GPS?
No, I have not made it that far yet. I used to have the rubber band that went around my arm, and my phone got stuck in there, and I could listen to music and have a GPS running, but that was years ago. I don't have that anymore. So now it's kind of across the street. There's a track across the street, and I think it's a fifth of a mile. And then we've driven around the neighborhood. I know Tim mentioned this on one of the shows previous where he just drove his car. So we did that. We took the car and used the odometer to ballpark 5 miles just to see what it looks like.
You know, not every person actually tracks their runs, but I don't know. For me, it's kind of cool. Like if you use like an app like Strava or Nike to kind of see where you've run in the past. And like Strava is really good where you can actually do what's called like a heat map, where it can kind of tell you like, oh, what are the places you really like to run and where are the places that you have run? So like an example would be like, I like to run around, you know, my area because my heat map is going to show that I'm running around Novato, California, but it also does show that I've done runs like at Disneyland or at Disney World or like, in New York or Chicago. So like it kind of shows those things. And it also, I think another good thing is that every time you can actually enter in gear. So if you have like a shoe like this, like let's say you're wearing Ghost, you can enter in like a Brooks Ghost 2023. And then you can kind of track if you have your phone with you, how many miles you did. And then the app will kind of tell you if you're going to be close to 250 miles or 200 miles or whatever, you know, number you deem that it's necessary. So, but generally shoes, as Doug was saying, would probably deteriorate, 150 to 200 to 250, depending on how often you use them. Doug, anything else on that, Dougie?
No, I would say on the apps, I like Strava because it's kind of like the manager of manager apps. So I really use my Garmin Connect, which ties to my Garmin. And then that syncs with Strava. Brian likes Nike, which, syncs with Strava. So Brian and I can compare with Strava how we're doing, even though we might use different things. The other thing I would suggest, Jake, if you're looking for places to run, the Under Armour app, Map My Run, is good for your phone because it allows for people that like a run to upload it. So you can just say, hey, I want to run 3 miles around where I am, and it will give you tons of places to run. So that's what I use when I travel. If I'm in a hotel, I don't know where to go running, I'll just load that up and say, oh, look, there's a, if I go 3 blocks and turn left, I'll find a trail that I want to run.
Yeah, I've got a Garmin. I've got a Garmin app that I actually use it more for golf than I do for running. I have actually never even considered using it for running until you just were talking about this. But it's a good starting point. Under Armour, I got plenty of good places to run out here. I mean, Dublin's beautiful. You guys both know. There's plenty of great places. They got the whole Iron Horse Trail. I could run from, Sonola to Concord if I want.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's a long one. I rode that on a bike once, start to finish, and it took me like 3 hours on a bike. So yeah, that will probably be a nice run for you.
I'm just like Dougie, though. I do use a Garmin. So I have a Garmin, and that does feed into Nike, and it does feed into Strava. So use your Garmin. I think a lot of people I find it more accurate than a lot of other things. So I would definitely try to look for that.
Yeah, so I guess I guess technically for running gear, back to the question of what running gear do I have a Garmin wristwatch so that I could probably start figuring out how to use that thing. But otherwise, I'm just running in basketball shorts and a cotton T-shirt.
Oh man, I think it's time to upgrade. So that's one of my other questions.
That is one of my other questions: is will spandex make me faster?
Only if that's all you're wearing and nothing else at all. Only wear spandex, then you'll fly.
I mean, this is the Bay Area. I can, you know, nobody will judge me.
No, you can totally do it. It's fine. I have a
long sleeve Under Armour shirt. I have one that I bought back when I was running in my 40s.
We are in our 40s.
Well, my earlier 40s.
I would probably move away if possible from running in cotton, because that feels like, you know, a couple pounds heavier, especially on like really hot days if you're sweating like crazy. So probably want to get like some dry fit shirts. I always seem to be using one of those. Basketball shorts, I think, are a little too baggy. So you might want to look for some shorts that, you know, maybe that just go above your knee rather than like, I know basketball shorts are probably going to drag to your kneecap and below.
And all my dry fit shirts right now are golf shirts.
Yeah.
So I'll have to go get some regular plain collar dry fit shirts. You could probably get those at Target or something in a 3-pack, or I have to go to like the Nike store.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would suggest don't buy any dry fit shirts. It will be a waste of your money. A better thing would be sign up for a race. You'll get a shirt with the race.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I did hear that the 5K and the 10K are coming back to Disneyland.
I am running all three of them. I think, Brian, you're doing the half, aren't you?
Yeah, just the half.
So if you can get into it, slots are opening, but it's not it's closed for the most part, but they're opening up slots as time goes on. I'm running all three, and Anastasia will be running her first race in January there.
That's awesome. Maybe one of these days you do a show about how to sign up for a race.
Probably. Signing up for a Disney race is very different than any other race, though.
You know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Jake. We should definitely go into that. Because it's like a science to get into one of those Run Disney events. No, Doug is absolutely right. The more races you do, like the more like your entry fee will generally get you a shirt.
So basically what I'm saying, if I pay the entry fee and I don't get a shirt, then they're ripping me off.
Well, very few races don't do shirts anymore. If we do the turkey trot that I'm planning on signing us all up for, you're going to get a shirt. I know that.
Awesome.
So yeah. And the turkey trot in Marin, they give away like long sleeves, or it's included in the price. But there's some races that, you know, if it's a little bit cheaper, they don't necessarily need to do a shirt. And, you know, it just adds up to the cost. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
So, speaking of that, race is coming up. You guys are talking about turkey trot. Which one are you guys thinking about doing?
I'm leaning towards the Silicon Valley one, just because it's recognized as the best turkey trot in the country, and we have an access to it. Plus, I kind of am a little bit nostalgic, and I used to run it every year when I lived in California, and I haven't. And, you know, obviously, since I left and moved to Florida. So that's, you know, and it's an easy one to get to. It's a great, you know, scenic. It's fun. Lots of crowd support. You know, there's a whole section with mariachi bands. So
that sounds fantastic. How come you didn't invite me to do this sooner?
Because when I lived in California, you lived in Colombia on a boat. So
fair.
I've never done that one, but I've heard really great things about that race, Doug, as you've said. So I'm going to do probably the one either in Napa or in Marin. So there's one in Novato, which actually runs at the Indian Valley College in Novato. area, and then the other one in Napa where my mom is. I might do that one.
The IVC, is that on those dirt trails that go through the woods?
No, it starts kind of in the back area, but it actually runs more on the street, like on the Ignacio Boulevard area. So, but yeah, that would be a good one to start off on. And Jake, you're thinking about doing an actual turkey trot, right, this year?
Yeah, I'm signing up to do the one with Doug.
Yeah. So
riding his
Miranda, Miranda, Emily, Jake, and I are going to do it together.
Is there one in Dublin that you know of, or in that area? That's good.
There is one in Dublin. There was one in Dublin. Let me rephrase that. I don't know if there is still happen, but it's Shamrock themed. You know, they also have a good St. Patrick's Day run. So you know, go figure. Dublin's all about the luck of the Irish.
How about in Florida? Is there any good ones, Doug?
So Florida's So what I normally run when I'm here is called the Seniors First Turkey Trot. So in the heart of downtown Florida, there's a lake. So you know, Orlando has a lot of lakes. So, but this lake is called Lake Eola. It's a nice part of town. You start off and you basically run out and you run through what's considered Old Town Orlando. So it's incredibly beautiful, kind of a pain to run on if you're really running, because a lot of it's cobblestone and brick. And you know, it's from the 1800s, so it's not like it's maintained smoothly, but from a scenic perspective, it's amazing. Then you finish and I'll finish at a lake, get attacked by some geese, get some chocolate milk to recover, and go home and eat a turkey.
There you go. All right, Jake, I'd ask you, do you have like a goal in mind for this race? Are you trying to hit your high school times?
I think that is long gone. So, you know, I love goals, and unfortunately, I don't have a specific goal yet. I'm still kind of developing it. I would like to, you know, maybe run 5K without stopping to walk. That would be, you know, I think that's a manageable goal. I think that's realistic. As far as for time, I really have no idea. I mean, if I can get under 30, that would be cool. But I also don't want to kind of just ditch my wife. I'm faster than she is.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, maybe if I can just maybe for this first go around, just finish before the what have they got? The old ladies with the balloons that pull that fall up the back.
Not for a turkey trot, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just to get the feel of it. You know, and get the feel of a work up to a 5K and can complete a 5K. I don't have a time limit for myself yet. I don't have a any kind of a goal besides finishing. Really.
Nice.
And then eating some turkey.
Good. And then, so races you talked about, like you wanted to see maybe if possible to get into that, into many of the Disney races. So,
yeah, but we all know, I have a Walt Disney World trip planned in March. So I don't know if I can take the time to go to Disneyland in January. But it's good to know about it as an option.
Well, the Disney races for Disney. Yeah. So there'll be more at Disneyland. And someday it might be a good topic to talk about, you know, favorite races we've run with each other. Because one of my fondest memories running was Brian when we did the that half mile at Disneyland. What was it for?
The last one, right? Before it.
Yeah, half marathon. The Marvel one. Yeah, no, that was probably one of my favorite races that I've ever run.
You ran it pretty good. Right. You ran that fast, and it was like a really good tour of Anaheim when we did that race together. Yeah. Okay, so Jake, let's see here. You were also talking about here. So good shoes. We talked about that. So if you want to even get more specific on your shoes, like a lot of places like Roadrunner Sports, they will actually like take an imprint of your foot and the way you stand and run, and they'll make suggestions like on what type of shoe would work best for you. So
yeah, they may say
because
I've had a few people recommend a place over in Pleasanton that they'll throw you on a treadmill and videotape you, and then have you run across some kind of a sensory mat, I guess, and then they'll figure out what kind, where's your impact, and what kind of arches do you have, and find a good shoe to support the foot that way. It just sounds expensive. I'm not gonna.
So those are free. You'll never pay for it. But if you do it, highly recommend. Have Emily or one of the kids behind you with their iPhones taking a picture of you running and your feet steps, because I did not know this when I first did one of these, but sometimes a shoe can cause you to change how you run, and it's good to track it.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, you're changing the bottom of your foot effectively.
So you'll probably analyze if you are like they'll examine like your arches, they'll examine kind of the way you land, like if you're more flat footed, if you need more stability, because let's say, the muscles around your foot are unstable. They'll kind of recommend those things. And, just it is free, but obviously they want you to buy shoes from their establishment. So, that's kind of one of the things why. So, okay. Let's see. I would also recommend.
Actually, that one, before you get too far off, that's important. Be mindful of who does that for you, because I've had a lot of people that have run through that process who aren't actually qualified to advise me on a shoe. They're temporary, workers, been there for a little bit. They don't know what they're talking about. They just needed a job, and they'll start trying to push a shoe on you. So make sure either they know what they're talking about, or take the report and then do your own research on it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. It's a lot of turnover in the workforce these days.
Okay, so let's see. I would recommend you, if you don't figure out your watch or want to get your Garmin, just you have an iPhone, so download either the Strava app or the Nike app, and then you could just start tracking your runs that way if you don't get your Garmin figured out. So
how do you guys carry your phones? I mean, you got a pocket in your running shorts, or you got to stick it in your waistband or something?
Well, for me, I put it in my pocket, but I also have one of those neoprene spandex thingy, arm things. But
okay, those are still a thing. Okay.
Yeah, but they're a little heavy, and so that's why I don't really use them too much. But yeah, a lot of people still use them. So, what do you do? Obviously, you have a watch, right? So,
I have my Garmin watch. So with my phone, I do two things. So one, I have my hand water container is not hard. It's a soft container that I find that works better for me on longer runs. And it's big enough that I can put the phone in it, which is what I tend to do. Or recently I've tended to, I'm not really big in running belts anymore. I used to be, and I just got annoyed with them for a variety of reasons. So now I use magnets to hold my bib on, which means I don't have that spot. So if I don't put the phone in my water container, I will just run with it in my hand. I find that I don't actually have a problem with it running in my hand. Plus, I can get really cool pictures of me doing random stuff whenever I need to. So, all about the posting to social media.
So, wait, you run holding a water container the whole time?
Yep.
Yeah. We would recommend anytime you run over, I do some coaching on the side. So, we recommend anytime you run over 45 minutes to carry some water. So just in case you happen to be out somewhere, Jake, and you just, your body just kind of gives out, you should be carrying some water. So,
So I remember a couple of years ago, I actually I was in the city and there was a race, and there was people with a table that had little cups of water, and people would run by and grab a cup, and then they'd have another station where you could throw your
own cup. That is a great thing when it's available. So remember, so the Brian, so 45 minutes is usually just is a shorter amount of time than most people run 10K, which is 6 miles. So rule of thumb, I would say, is anything over half an hour, you know, over 5K, have water with you, because you don't know when the race will have water. You don't know that you're going to need water, to Brian's point, in between water breaks. You don't know that in some races I've seen it where there's one water table and a million runners coming through that want water and you can't get to any water. And let's not forget London Marathon last year, where they decided, oh, we're just taking stuff down, despite the fact there's still runners on the course. So people that thought they were going to coming up to water stop, it wasn't there anymore. So it's best for you to have the ability to get water whenever you need it. I would say in the last Chicago Marathon I ran, which was not the one that you and I ran, Brian, it's one, the, my last one. I hit a wall. I needed water. And one table had just run out of water and they shut it down. And that's what I needed. Chicago PD ended up giving me a bottle of water.
But I'm only running I'm starting with a 5K. I don't think I'll need to carry my own water.
Probably not. But when you're going on training runs, you know, like when you're, you know, especially like I know Dublin gets, obviously it's hotter than Marin. So, you know, just if you happen to be out there, especially during the summer, you should carry it.
Okay. You both in your what's hotter than whatever can bleh. Because where I live, you know, 108 degrees in the summer with humidity. So
you moved there on purpose. Don't forget.
I can see the Disney fireworks from my house.
Okay, and then let's talk about just really quick, like nutrition and stuff. So kind of what also we were saying about the water, you also want to carry some food or protein. You probably don't need it now, Jake, if you're only running like, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. But like when you get into like 10Ks and half marathons, like you're going to need to carry something like
that. What is this? What is goo? Yeah, I heard you talking about it on one of the other episodes, and I was like, what is this? Just like sugar paste?
Doug, you want to talk about that?
So I like goo, and I don't think you like goo, Brian.
I hate it.
Yeah, so the people that make power bars make goo. Basically, when you're running, you want to consume nutrition. So energy is what Brian's talking about. You're not going to get your vitamins and daily allotment of you know, veg from this stuff. But what you want to make sure is, as your body depletes its energy stores, you have a way of getting it back up fast enough so that you can continue to perform and not do any damage to yourself. So you want things that your body can break down easy. Goo and other substances like that, you know, stingers and what have you, they're in a form that's not hard for your body to process. So it's you know, not really hard solid. I like goo personally. I use the vanilla goo.
If you could describe it also, what is it like? How is it administered? And what does it look like? Yeah.
So goo, so it's a small packet. It's about 1 inch by 2 inches by a half inch. It's designed so that I can grab one. I can easily rip off the top with my teeth whilst I'm running. I can then squeeze it and the goo will, you know, swallow it and consume it. Tastes good. I like it. It's not going to mess my stomach up. And a lot of the races when you're running, you know, they expect that you'll, you know, take those kind of packets, consume them as you're in, whenever you need them, and then you'll drop them on the course, and then they'll pick it up as part of the process. So you don't have to like carry it or whatever. The goo is pretty popular, and it's a lot of times you'll find races will give them out. But
so what I'm imagining not everybody is likes it. like a single serving ketchup size packet with a Twinkie stuff in it.
Twice the size of a ketchup packet. God, I hope it's not Twinkie in there because that would make me sick. But fairly common. Everything else, I think you're pretty right on. As far as think about what that ketchup packet, how you would, if you had six or so of them in your pocket, how you would manage them, exact same thing.
Okay. So what I'm what I'm getting out of this is running shorts with pockets. That's the biggest. That's my biggest takeaway from this. I'm sorry about the goo. I don't think I'm gonna need it right now. My biggest takeaway is I need pockets, which is a good thing.
So I will caution you on pockets. If you run without something in your hand, or depending on how you run, I have from time to time caught my thumbs on my pocket mid stride. And if I'm carrying something like a phone or a water bottle, it'll slip it out. Okay. So I prefer to run. If the shorts that I have that do have pockets are zipped pockets, not open pockets.
Sensible. Because I know when I run, I tend to bounce a bit. I don't want anything bouncing out of my pocket.
I think basketball shorts are just, they're probably just a little bit too baggy. So that's probably why, like, it's bounding a little bit. So if you maybe just get like one or two pairs of running shorts, or, you know, obviously just try one, the pockets won't flap around so much. And I think you'll be able to kind of keep things in there. And I always tend to now look for pockets that have like zippers, especially when I'm running.
Yeah.
So I don't have that problem of like jamming my thumb, but it does, like, it feels more secure.
I know, so if I'm running, I want to concentrate, I want to focus on my running, not focus on keeping stuff from falling out of my pockets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Okay. Let's see. Pre-running and post-running. So I think that's one of your questions here. So generally, I think you should do some stretching. So I think the conventional wisdom says you should do some like active stretching before, and then like some sort of dynamic stretching kind of post run.
When you start out, are you stretching cold, or are you like running a lap or two to warm up before you stretch?
For me, I have like kind of a set routine of what I'll do. So what do I do? Like butt kicks and leg swings and opening the gate and closing the gate, like your hips, swinging your legs so your hip flexors kind of adjust and open up. And what else do I do? Like Frankenstein's, it's kind of where you...
I would probably send some pictures or in the show notes for this, put some links.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think just imagining, because I'll say this, most of my running stretches I got from Brian. He stretches way more than I do, but some of the things that I watched him do, I'd never seen anyone else do, and I'm like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. So Brian's the authority on these things.
So I'll send you some. So I suggest, yes, you should spend at least, if you can, like maybe 5 minutes just doing some stretching, and then afterwards, that's up to you, but I would also recommend a little bit, maybe a couple minutes as well, just kind of wrapping that up. And I'll send you some things to do, some active and dynamic stretching pre and post your runs. So definitely recommended. You don't want to run cold and start running like right away when your muscles haven't really been adjusted. You really could, especially like, let's say it's a really cold day. You could really pull something or do something to your leg.
And you have a pre-race breakfast routine, or do you just skip? Because my understanding is most races start fairly early in the morning, so that way you can be done before it gets hot. You just load up on goo while you're running and don't worry about breakfast, or do you eat a couple dozen eggs or what?
I don't think I do the eggs thing.
A good plate of pasta the night before, get the carbohydrates going.
So remember, though, in order to carb load properly, you need to do it for a couple of days before a race, not the night before. I like the carb load the night before just because it's the least likely to cause problems. I once ran a marathon on a bar burger and fries. That was a terrible idea. I will never do that again. I don't know about your thoughts on breakfast, Brian, but I usually say something that's a little bit, they'll carry me for a bit. So I usually do a piece of wheat toast and peanut butter.
Yeah. That's a good one. Something that has like, that won't like upset your stomach. So, you know, I would suggest not eating like bacon or eggs or, you know, something like that. But maybe sticking, like, as Doug was saying, like a piece of bread, you know, a bagel with like peanut butter or almond butter is always good. I always like oatmeal. And, you know, throwing a little bit of fruit on there is always kind of good too. So that's what I would do. But those are generally what I would do for races. But if I'm just running in the morning, let's say around my house before, I probably am not going to eat before I run. So if I'm just running like three, four miles, Jake, I'm probably not going to eat anything, or I may have like a cup of coffee.
Can't start my day without a cup of coffee.
So you and I are in the same boat there, but I will also caution you when you do the turkey trot, coffee has some interesting side effects. So on your longer runs, make sure you account for that, because I have the distinction of on one of the older Disneyland races, having two cups of coffee and suddenly not being able to wait for the race to start. I had to get out of line to use a port-a-john. And when I got out, everybody was gone. The whole race had started. So I was able to catch everybody. But yeah, when I passed the balloon ladies, you know, because they were obviously the last ones, they're like, oh, you're the dead last start. And I'm like, what the heck is that? That's how I learned about that term. I'm like, what is that? And they told me, I'm like, should I be proud? And they're like, no, you shouldn't. I'm like, okay. So
that is not a brag.
No, it is not.
All right. And then also just probably other things I'd recommend, Jake, is if you're running outdoors, like sunscreen obviously is important, sunglasses, right. And then, you know, a hat is always good. So you kind of don't burn yourself and keep the sun out of your eyes. I don't know, Doug, I don't know if you wear, I know you wear hats. Sunglasses, hats is interesting. You wear them.
So yeah. I will wear a hat on very specific conditions. So I'm fortunate enough to have enough hair, although I am thinning in the back a little bit. On a very long, long run on a hot, hot day, I don't like the heat being trapped by the hat. It actually will drive me nuts. So I will wear one of my Tough Mudder bandanas on those runs. But on anything like a half marathon or less, I'll wear a hat, like Brian says, but I usually turn it backwards. Mostly because the front of my face, as it steams because I'm sweating, I don't want it to catch the brim and then fog up my glasses.
Yeah. I think everyone has, like, I love wearing hats, especially when I'm running. when it's sunny outside, I will always generally wear one. But I think everyone has their kind of own unique preferences kind of when it comes to that. But just definitely, you know. Yeah,
I'm thin on top. I probably need some kind of shade up there, if not just cover it in sunscreen.
Yeah.
So I would suggest whatever route you go, because both of them are any way you do it is right. Just make sure that you train and you practice the way you're going to run the race. Don't not wear a hat on your training runs and then decide to wear a hat on the race day.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. And just like what Doug was saying, yeah, don't like decide to try eating a hamburger, you know, before like a race, and you've never done it before, because that's probably a recipe for disaster. So, for you, your last question here, I think you were talking about socks. So
So I need so it's interesting. So I have you know, smaller feet. I got, you know, I'm only a like a regular, a standard size 8, right? And all the socks I've ever seen are 9 to 12. And so they just bunch up in the wrong places when I have motion. And, you know, I'm wondering, where can I get decent socks that are like medium size, not these large men's?
Probably the running stores would generally have them, like Roadrunner Sports, if that's the one you're talking about, it in Pleasanton. Because I think they do the foot review, but you can probably look for some good socks there. And they don't have to be in a size 9 to 12. I think they also come in I think the wave or the size right before that. So what do you run in, Doug? What are your you have like a sock brand that you like? Or...
I sent you my little thing because I didn't realize Jake's questions were for the show and not for an actual thing. I have a problem with blisters when I run. So I have a very weird setup. I run with very, very thin toe socks. But the specific brand I use right now is Injini. And then I put those on first, and then I put those in compression socks. So if I'm doing a short run, like a training run, I may or may not use the compression socks. But on anything that's, you know, over 10K, I definitely will. So by doubling up on the socks, I get the value of the compression. I get the value of the toe socks, so I don't get the blisters and rubbing up against each other. And then it also protects. Sometimes if you're not tracking the toe box and you kick it too many times, you can have a, you know, lose a toenail effect, what they call it, a runner's toe, which I don't like. I don't like losing my toenails, and I don't like, you know, the after effects of that. So a little bit of extra cushion there kind of helps prevent against that.
Yeah. Okay. Man, I didn't realize we've been going a little bit longer on this podcast. So, okay. So let's just kind of like, I guess, wrap this up here and maybe see if like, there's any final questions, Jake, you may have for Doug or myself?
No, you guys are awesome. I really appreciate your time. I don't have a question, but I do have one statement. That is, the last time I ran a 10K, I came in at 1 hour and 1 minute. I was so mad at myself. So if I ever go to do a 10K where somebody's actually timing it, I'm going to get under an hour.
No. Well, you definitely can.
The San Jose Turkey Trot does have a 5 and a 10K option.
That's a little ambitious for me right now. Maybe next year.
I will. Well, I don't know that I'll come back for Thanksgiving next year, but I will find a race for us all to do next year around the holidays. I'll probably come back for something.
Yeah. You should maybe, Jake, if you get more comfortable, there's a San Francisco marathon, which I, you know, am a part of. You don't have to do the marathon, but there is a 10K and a half marathon and a 5K portion. So, you know, that might be something to consider. I won't be running the marathon probably next year. I'll probably only do maybe like the half, but that is in July. And, you know, maybe something you can work up to, you know, as your time permits.
So. Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks.
Okay, well, we'll kind of just wrap it up here. But thanks to our guest, Doug, our host, Doug, our new guest contributor, Jake, who'll probably be joining us from time to time. Let's do a post race podcast of our turkey trots, and we can kind of talk about, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what was good about the race, what wasn't, and you know, we'll do that kind of after probably in early December if that works for you guys. About this.
That works great for me.
Works for me.
All right. Well, I think that's it. So thanks everybody for listening. We will be back for another episode real soon. Kind of just depending on what sort of content we have and what sort of race is coming up. But thanks again for listening and talk to you guys later. All right.
All right. Thanks. How do you know, man?